Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Mo.
And I'm J.O.
And you're listening to Mojo and the Outsiders podcast, brought to you by Backwoods Adventure Mods.
Hey, guys, in this episode, basically Mo and I are just kind of going into our story of kind of how we got into overlanding, you know, kind of what overlanding means to us. And honestly, just all the really fun, you know, and funny memories that we've had in the past. Definitely, you know, listen in and also make sure you listen for that discount code to get 15% off at backwoodsadventuremods.com. To the episode. Boom.
Cue it up. Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Mo. Thanks for tuning in again. Today, we're kind of talking about one of the cringiest words in this whole thing, overlanding, you know, and it's not what you think. Probably everybody has, you know, different meanings for that word and stuff, but kind of what it means to myself and J.O., you know, it's something, you know, kind of glorified car camping. Some people, you know, only overland, and that's fine too, but just kind of how it relates to us and our builds and how it's changed us.
Yeah. Well, and for me, it's like, I know a lot of people get really hung up on it. I don't even necessarily care what the word means, to tell you the truth.
It's the same. That's how I feel. Same. It's like, man, I don't care what you want to call it, man. You want to call it standing on your head, I'll see you at the campsite.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's honestly how I feel about it too. It's just like, the only reason I ever say overlanding is just so I can tell people basically what I do and they can say, okay, now I know what that is.
You know? Yeah. And it's gotten so popular in the past few years, you know, with, you know, the 2020, the Coco thing and everything, you know, people started looking for ways to get out. And so it seemed like that word really caught fire and people just loved to say they were doing that or building their rigs out or saying they had an overland rig and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's funny because, you know, we were kind of talking about it earlier and like, I remember kind of getting into overlanding and I can't even really quite remember exactly, I guess, what got me into it or, you know, the first videos I watched or anything like that. I do remember I had like my third gen 4Runner. I was more or less building it out more for hunting, really, just to have something to camp out of, you know, while I was, yeah, going hunting. And then I want to say while trying to do research for that is maybe how I stumbled upon, you know, I guess like overlanding is kind of how I got into it. And then I never really built out that third gen the way I wanted to. And then I ended up buying an FJ and of course put all the dumb crap on it that, you know, everyone always does right off the bat.
I've seen some ones that, you know, have more stuff on them than yours, whether yeah. they need it or not.
Well, fortunately, I stopped going down that rabbit hole early. You know, it was funny. It's like I was telling Mo, I remember when I bought my FJ, like right off the bat, I was like, okay, I have to figure out how I'm going to mount some traction boards right. to this thing.
Let the people know, man. Like, dude, you see the traction boards? You know I'm into it.
Yeah,
you know. Easy spot, right? Like, that's my people. You know how I yeah. knew? He had traction boards.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, pretty quickly I realized that, hey, I have all this stuff on my vehicle and I've never touched it once. So let me start taking this stuff off and making room for things that I do actually use. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's the same, you know, it's like, I can remember same first getting into this, we went on one of the express rally trips and so much fun. I mean, we had so much fun. The wife and I have always loved being outside. And this was just another way to do that, but we could bring more things to be comfortable. You know, it's like, I'm not loading up a backpack. I'm loading up the back of a 4Runner. So it's like, man, if you think you want it, throw it in there and stuff like that. And, it's funny now, you know, I still have some of these old things laying around and we bought this camp table. And I mean, shit, it's massive, man. I mean, it is a massive trifold thing. It has a kitchen sink on it, spot to hang your lamp. And,
oh, yeah.
And I mean, seriously, when we first got into it, I didn't care about size, anything. If it was checking boxes, add to cart, let's get it coming. and go down that route. And like I said, you know, still got some of these things hanging around in the garage, and it's funny to see this table, because now it's like we've got just a little drawer that we use as a table. It's kind of the same thing, you know, whenever you get into it, you're just like, I know I need a table. You see the biggest table and the way it trifolds and folds semi-flat, you know, but takes up, you know, 4 foot long by 6 inches wide. And, that was like one of our favorite things. And then totes, man, you know, like living out of totes, like it was nobody's business, man.
Yeah.
And that was just what we did, you know. All our bedding went into a tote. Everything just went into totes. And we just fold the seats back down in the runner, throw the dogs in, throw some totes in. You know, weather dependent kind of dictated how many totes you had to throw in, long before I knew about diesel heaters or anything. And it's funny because it's like that growth, man, of getting into it and riding that high of this new thing and trying to figure out and doing the research and that kind of stuff was so much fun. And I often joke about it, you know, it's like sometimes I wish I could get back to like the basics, you know, of just wanting to be out, just to be out, you know, and stuff like that. And it's funny, you know, I've done so many things with the Land Cruiser and the 4Runner that it's like now neither one of them have a tent, you know, and it's like just kind of more back to the basics, just more minimalist type. I say that, but it's hard to be a minimalist when you got a refrigerator and a cooktop in the back, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, for instance, like I was telling you about that truck, you know, that my son and I are going to start, you know, kind of restoring for his first vehicle. And don't get me wrong, this is not.
Well, don't just tell me. Tell the folks, man. The folks are going to want to know about this, Jim.
Well, this is not a vehicle that like you would go wheeling in. It's a 94 F-150 long bed with the dual tanks. I mean, it is like full-on grandpa truck.
Oh, yeah.
But it's sweet. It's got an awesome history with his family. It's going to be the perfect first truck for him. We got 4 years to work on it. But the thing I'm most excited about is just building it out as simple as possible for him. Now, don't get me wrong. If he wants to not put a tent or anything like that on it, like, hey, that's cool. But yeah. I would love to just throw a camper shell on it, build him like a little platform in the back to sleep in if he wants. And yeah, just keep it basic for him. And I'm extremely excited about doing that with him.
And the thing, like, you know, that, you know, whenever you were telling me about this truck for him, you know, I was like, dude, a truck equals freedom.
Yes.
And it's the same with us in our builds, you know, it's like, man, you know, building these rigs out to get out, you know, equals that freedom to like, I can get out, I can stay out longer and stuff. So it's like, that stuff always comes with rigs. I'm excited for Oliver, you know, he may hate this thing, but I think it's just going to be amazing. I mean, it's a two-tone 90s model Ford. I mean, you know, it'll spin the rear tires.
Yeah.
Just getting it.
Well, it's like, you know, we were saying yesterday, man, like literally my favorite memories when I was in high school were in the worst trucks possible. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that twin tank, you know, hopefully gas prices give him a break. You know, it's like, dude, he may not be able to keep both tanks full, you know, keep two halves going and keep it right like that. But I mean, it's funny to see where all that has taken us, you know, all this, camping, overlanding, like I said, whatever you want to call it, you know, to where we've landed now, you know, it's like now here we are, we both work here, man, get to pitch in, help design, and give ideas on products we think we should make. So it's funny to sit here now and think about, it wasn't that long ago when I was just getting into this, you know, this side of things where you're building out a more purpose-built rig, you know.
Yeah. But
I mean, some of the first things I can just remember seeing, you know, or I mean, I can remember watching Grant's channel when he was in a Jeep, you know, just thinking, man, this guy gets it, dude. Like he is my type of people. And this is long before I met him, you know. And so it's funny to see how all that kind of panned out and where life takes you. But yeah, so getting into this hobby, I mean, it did a lot for me, you know, introduced me to new people, I wouldn't say like new places, but, you know, going to Colorado to just camp instead of, you know, used to go there just to ski and stuff like that. So, kayak. So it's like just bringing me back to the same places, just another way to get out and enjoy, some of the beautiful areas we have around the country.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's definitely taken me to, I don't even want to say different. I mean, it's definitely taken me to different places. Don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. just full on different experiences, kind of like you touched on. You know, like you were saying, instead of going to Colorado to ski, you're going out there to camp. But it's like going out there to camp, but doing it not in the most rugged way, you know, because I mean, you definitely have your comforts.
Gosh,
but
no.
Man, you're just able to experience that outdoor life of Colorado, that backcountry life of Colorado in a way that you would never be able to experience ever, you know, without hiking into it or something like that. We just fortunately kind of get to do it in the most comfortable way possible. Yeah. So,
and it is right. You know, it's like, man, there's, you know, going to Colorado any time of year, picture perfect, but there's something about, you know, you get to one of these dark sky places and, you know, you look up and there's just a million stars in the sky. And it's like some of these things, you know, you can't experience from a hotel, you know, or anything like that. So very fortunate, you know, to have been the places we've been. And like I said, to land where we've landed now, where it's a full-time job to get to go do these fun things. And like I said, help design amazing products and work with some of the best guys I know.
Yeah. Hello, guys. I am sorry to interrupt the episode, but the coupon code is you need this 15, all caps, and it's YOUNEEDTHIS 15, all caps. You need this 15. Back to the episode. What would you say was like kind of the first point where you kind of saw overlanding, you saw the hobby and you're like, hey, I think that's something I'm interested in. Do you remember kind of what got you into it, would you say?
Oh man. I mean, like I said, man, that first trip that we went on with the Express Rally, that was, I was pretty much like all in after that. You know, we had run so many forest roads, you know, with just some of the other hobbies I have, just getting out and more hiking type stuff. And then, once I figured out you could add this like off-roading four low factor and getting out of your comfort zone and stuff like that and overcoming obstacles with people, you know, there's nothing like the stoke of that. Like I knew that I wanted to be part of that and you know, enjoy more trips like that. So really got into it then, you know, and like I said, that wasn't that long ago, but I mean, I came from, had a Jeep, had a Scout, some other vehicles. So it's like, but my Jeep, you know, like that was like a thing I'd take over to Disney, Oklahoma. And we'd mess around for the day and it was more, you know, like nothing against Jeeps or Jeep people, but it was more like Jeepy things, you know, like we're really just like
mudding
hard on the rigs, you know, and everybody is, you know, there's rock bouncers out there, you know, and then everybody's sipping a little liquid curd. So you got shit breaking all the time. And then, you know, so, but after this trip where I realized that you could still get some of that off-roading aspect, still eat, you know, amazing food and then have a rooftop tent to call home. It was like, okay, this is checking my boxes. I want to spend more time doing that.
So was that Express Rally trip, that was your first experience with it?
I mean, like, first experience with, like, as a whole, you know. Like
I didn't know that.
I knew a lot of, I guess, places, you know, Dixon Ford and stuff was places that we had gone on our own. Down towards Richland Creek were places we had gone on our own. And these are kind of, like, longer trips, but nothing like 3 days, 4 days of just, like, we're going to be out in the woods and, you know, we're just going to traverse all this land and, you know, cover a couple hundred miles, you know, without really going back to town. You know, that was definitely like my first go at that, you know, and it's funny now, you know, cause it's like, man, I've done a bunch of amazing camp trips and stuff. And some of like the longest trips I've ever done are now, you know, out of the 4Runner and stuff like that.
Dude, I didn't realize that was like your first experience. What a perfect way to kind of like get yourself into it. In case, you know, anyone listening doesn't know what Express Rally is. So essentially what it is it's almost like a guided trip, you know, mm-hmm. they guide you through the forest, you know, they hook you up with some incredible food, you know, they really take care of you. So it's one of those deals. Like if someone especially doesn't know fully about it, it's definitely like the perfect way to get into it, and it
checks so many boxes for us. I mean, we were new, you know, like we had gone out and done some solo-ish things, but you know, when you're by yourself, you know, it's like you only push so hard because, you know, you don't have backup, you don't have somebody there to help if things go wrong. And it's like everything, man, like every hobby, every sport I've ever been into is you're trying to find your people, man. You're trying to find the folks that like jive with your energy and you want to be around them and they're good folks. So like we saw that and we were like, okay, there's whatever, 15 people signing up. Surely we'll click with some of them. We'll sign up for one of those and hopefully we can find some, you know, like-minded folks there that are gonna, you know, be our people, something we can do and not have to, you know, pay for, you know, or stuff like that. And it worked amazingly. You know, it's like there's still folks I talked to from that first trip. Met a lot of great folks, you know, on that trip, and some people, you know, I still do trips with. So it's like, that was, like I said, it worked. I tell everybody who's new, like new getting into it, man, find something like that. Group ride of any kind, man, paid for, free, don't care. Go meet people if you're new, because chances are, you know, there's going to be people that are going to fit your bill and the people you want to be around. And like I said, it's always worked, you know. And like I said, it was the same for kayak and same for biking. You know, you're like, you're finding your people, and that getting where you fit in really, really stands out.
Yeah. For me, man, like some of the closest people, like some of my best friends in the entire world, you know, were met in this community. You know, like you, for instance, Mo, like you're definitely one of my best friends. And, for instance, there was this group that I used to go out and wheel with kind of at the beginning a ton. And it was like my buddy Cliff, my buddy Drew, and then my buddy Lance, who still goes out quite a bit, Lance Johnston.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, like we were all figuring it out together. And it was the most hilarious thing looking back on it now because, like, dude, we seriously, like, would just bash the absolute heck out of our vehicles, like, mm-hmm. not knowing what we're doing, you know? Every one of us loaded our vehicles down as much as we possibly could, except Lance. He was pretty dialed from the beginning. But, man, it was just so funny to look back on. It's just, sometimes, like you were saying earlier, like, I kind of feel like I could just, like, erase my memory and go back to those times and relive it, because it was just so much fun getting into it.
It was, right? Like I said, man, everybody's learning. Everybody's trying to figure stuff out, you know. Not everything worked as like it does now, you know. It's like we're you know, not near, I don't even want to ever say like I'm dialed, you know, because I'm just not. But, you know, a lot of stuff at camp works like it's supposed to, makes life easier. Whereas like, yeah, those first trips, man, they're fun to look back on. Like I said, man, I just think of this Swiss Army table, man, and it folds out 10 ways and you got like a massive, massive thing.
Did you have anything done to your Forerunner on that first trip?
Yeah, man, we had 2-to-1 collar lift, 33 proper, you know, don't need anything else. Right. Center cut winch bumper, and a roof rack. I don't know what roof rack we were on at that point, but we had a roof rack. And then, man, we had a Yakima tent, man. 3-season condensate like nobody's business in the winter type tent. So, I mean, just so different, you know. And like I said, man, we just knew that we wanted to be out. And we had enough. Like I said, we had enough to kind of get back. No swing out bumper, no full-size bumper, had rock sliders, I've always tried to like protect the bottom of the rig, because it's like, dude, like error on my part, man. I want to give this thing, you know, the best chance, man. So it's like, if I take a bad line, I want to have skids. So skids were something we purchased fairly early with the center cup bumper. It was like, try and protect everything underneath the best we can.
Yeah. I got pretty lucky with mine because I bought my FJ. So the bumper already had, or the bumper was already on the vehicle, which I definitely had to take it off, you know, get it sandblasted and recoated because it was rusted to no end. The sliders were actually like the factory sliders that came on the vehicle from Toyota. So I am still running those currently. I'm trying to get the
four. I mean, what a design though, right?
Dude, it was awesome. Yeah. And then the roof rack I was running, so it was the factory roof rack, but it had this like insert that the original owner told me it was made by Gobi, but it just dropped right in the middle of the factory rack and essentially turned it from a half rack to a full rack, which was awesome. Like you could stand it and everything else. I ended up taking it off eventually, because I ended up putting a rooftop tent on, but it was sweet. And then the vehicle already had a ladder on it, so definitely kept that for quite some time. Took it off, I guess about a year ago. But honestly, if I wouldn't have had all that stuff already on there, like I probably would have just had 33s and that'd have been it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know, it's like 33s, they were fine. And it's same, right? This is part of like the, how's it changed, you know, over time, you know, and I haven't been doing it forever, just a short time, but it's like, I can remember, you know, like the, right, I hate to say that, right, it sounds terrible, but, you know, it's like, yeah. when 33s were like the thing, you know, and then if you're running 35s on a 4Runner, man, you're running meets, and now you look at it now, and people are putting, you know, it's like, we've got a couple, two ambassadors that are running, you know, 37 plus tall tires and stuff like that, so it's like, it's really progressed. It's really cool to see what people are doing with these machines, how they're building them out now. And who knows, man? I mean, they're still going nuts on them.
Yeah. Actually, Mo and I came across a YouTube channel earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, this is a classic. Y'all got to go check this out. So it's a channel called Overland History. Mm-hmm. The guy hasn't posted a video in 5 years, but he was going over his XJ build. Which honestly was sweet. Had the freaking coolest outdoor shower system I've ever seen.
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. Craftsman.
Yeah. But it was funny. Like, yeah, he was going over his tire setup and he goes, yeah, I got these 31s.
Yeah. 31 mud terrains.
Yeah. Really getting it. You know, and he was like bragging about how his bumper hit his winch, you know, which is like pretty normal now, you know?
Yeah. Just, but different, yeah. Right? You know, it's like, man, you look at some of these rigs and how it's changed. You know, 31s on this XJ, and I mean, he was semi-dialed. You know, but yeah. You can tell, like I said, all the products are so much better now. You know, everything seems more intentionally built.
Yeah,
tents are better. You know, everybody's kind of on the same page. With those thicker fabric and stuff like that, you know, bumpers, same thing, you know, he's talking like the hidden winch bumper, was, you know, best thing since pocket on a t-shirt and, you know, it's, and now all these things are like fairly standard, right? You know, it's like something we do on all our products and everything. And so it's just funny to see the progression and this guy's video, the guy, you know, Joe's referring to, this video is from 2018. So it's not like forever ago, but like you said, you know, the way it gained popularity and stuff like that, you know, it's just kind of caught fire and still seems like it's grown.
Yeah. The thing that I love the most about the progression, especially after seeing that video, is roof racks don't have to stick a foot above the vehicle any longer.
No, right? That's it's the same, right? So you had Yakima maker, two crossbars, man.
Getting it.
Yeah, whatever, you know, 58 and 72 inches, pick your size. But it is, you know, and then, yeah, like I said, where we're at and the stuff we get to help with, you know, it's super cool to see how products have changed. Roof racks, obviously way slimmer, bumpers, you know, lighter and, you know, stronger. So, I mean, it's just cool to see how people keep pushing this industry along and how, you know, people keep trying to innovate, whether it be us or one of our competitors or somebody else in this same ball field that we're in.
So what would you say, going on to a different question, what would you say would be like going from the beginning of your build and going to it now, is there anything that, or like, what would you say was like the biggest change that you made that's been your favorite going from the beginning to, I guess, like now, things that you realize when you put them on, hey, I didn't need this. And I'm glad I changed this now.
Dang, man. I mean, so, you know, like everybody, it's, you know, you're on version whatever 5.7 of your build and stuff. And there's stuff that's always stuck around, you know, it's like our refrigerator. Amazing. Still like you know, I always voted, like I always tell people, one of the things that change your world the quickest is to add a refrigerator. So handy. The thing, like, what have I taken off that I put on? You know, it's like, man, there's things that I hate to even say, you know, but like, when I first got this 4Runner, this is kind of like you and them traction boards, man. This is just the same thing, man. First thing I know I need to do, increase HPs. I'm going to add some Raptor lights. I need three lights top of my grill, or people ain't going to take me seriously. Yep. You know, so it's like, that was one of the things where I'm like, oh, man, I see it on everybody's, man. I've got to do that, man. I've got to, man. Amazon's got them. They can get them to me by Friday. Give me something to do on Saturday, man. We're going to get these things right. And that was one of the things, you know, where you're just kind of like, those didn't last very long. You know, you're like, ah, man, you know, and you should have known, right? Like, I'd seen it everywhere, which meant that after I added it, I would see it even more. And then, and same, you know, so I pulled those off. And the same, nothing against folks that want to do that, man.
Cool, yeah.
Right. People, man, build your rig how it makes you smile, man. I just know that that was one of the first things I did, added. And came off, you know, like I said, it was one of, and my ladder was another thing that was same, you know, like it was, I guess, coolish, but I probably used it, you know, if I used it 5 times, that's amazing, but I don't know if I used it more times than that. You know, for me, it was a place them out them traction boards, man. Another way, so people knew that I was serious into off-roading because I have traction boards on the outside of my rig.
Well, dude, like, the ladder is so true, man. Like, I got where, honestly, the only reason I used my ladder for a while was because I couldn't find the ladder to my rooftop tent. So I was just like, well, I guess I'll use this thing so I can get into my tent. Other than that, never used it. So when I finally found my ladder, dude, I took that ladder right off. I mean, it just, I never used it. I know this is super dumb for me to say this, but after the Whittle Wadder joke started coming out, I was like, yeah, they're right. You know, like, I got to take this off. So ditch that. But I will say, like, man, one of the funniest things, like, when I go back and look at photos, so, you know, like winch shackle straps?
Yeah.
Dude, I used to rock one of those, and I thought I was
so... Dude, leave that red tag hanging.
Oh, dude, I thought I was so cool.
Yeah, right? Dude. You wonder what kind of winch it is? You don't have to. It's got a worn tag on it. You know.
Mine didn't even have tag because it was a Badlands. It was just red Blake. You know? So the cheapest of the cheap, you know? Had, like, the ugliest, like, shackle, you know, on the outside of it.
Yeah.
And that was something... Not necessarily the tag, but like when my cheap winch finally kind of like started really having not issues, honestly, it stayed very reliable, but started just kind of falling apart, little bits and stuff. And I finally put like a nicer looking winch on there. Dude, I definitely like the look of it a lot more.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, all those things, like I said, it's funny to look back. And I mean, now it's like, If I'd have had, you know, what we offer now, you know, it's like now we have deck panels that go in our drifter, and it makes sense for you to have a ladder. You can go up there, stand, strap stuff down, look, you know, stand up there, take photos, you know. But it's like you're talking 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and there wasn't really any kind of good panel options, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it, like I said, it's different how things are changed. Still not going to add a ladder, but yeah. More reason for one now.
Well, for me too, like the whole ladder deal, especially if you have sliders that actually like come out like a step.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why you would even need to get on top of your roof, other than maybe getting on top of it to shoot a gun or you know, take some photos or whatever. But other than that, I mean, you can pretty much access the entire roof rack just by standing on the step, you know. So I just, for me personally, that is easier, but people, you know, I'm sure find awesome uses for ladders, and definitely not knocking ladders. Like, they definitely have their place, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah. Not everybody's 5'11".
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely one of those deals. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think back on just that whole experience of like kind of getting into it and Dude, I mean, I will say, like, I was full on addicted to it for probably the first 2 years, I would say.
Dude, I think that's the move, man. I think that's how it is. You know, it was the same, you know, you go out and do it every free chance I got. And I'm, you know, thankful for all those things, man. It's something the wife and I enjoy doing together, still enjoy doing together. And for us, it was perfect to run away every weekend, get out of cell service and just kind of recharge, man, relax and come back feeling, you know, refreshed and ready to go back into work.
Yeah, man. I mean, it truly, honestly, that kind of changed my life. You know, before I started doing this, dude, I had a boat going out, you know, definitely not the healthiest hobby in the world is boating, as people know. So I'd go out there all the time, you know, and waste so much money on boating, fuel, constantly fixing the boat. And then we got into overlanding, sold our boat. And dude, it was just like everything was way better. I mean, I was healthier, you know, I had yeah. more fun with my friends, you know, I got to get out and like fully decompress from the world, you know, especially during a time when, you know, nowadays where people can just blow up your phone whenever they want, you know, it's just life-changing really, in my opinion.
Oh, well, same, you know, same. Met great people. You know, a lot of my friends and stuff like that, you know, I've met through this hobby and stuff like that. And then same, man, landed me a job here. You know, it's like I didn't show up here, you know, just out of the blue. It's like, man, they found us and brought us in, and I'm grateful for that. You know, thankful to be here.
Absolutely.
You know, it's but that's all, like I said, that's all part of it. That's all part of the getting into it. And you look back and, you know, had you not gotten into it, and it's funny to think, right? Just getting into this one hobby 5 years down the road, man, change your world and look around. You've got great friends surrounded by great folks, work for a great company. You know, it's like, dude, it's funny to look back and reminisce, you know, as we're sitting here talking about it. It's like, dang, man, all these memories and the places I've been and the people I've met and, you know, yeah, not every story is a good story. It's like, man, we've had bad stories. You've had to winch me backwards. You know, I've had, you know, mishaps in the forest, and all those are great memories, you know, for better or worse. You know, you can look back and, you know, everybody survived. You know, was it hectic at the time? Absolutely, man. But, you know, like I said, it's all about getting out, having fun with your people, man. And this has led me to some of the best people I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's there's no better way to bond with someone than struggle with them. So
ain't that the facts, man? That is the truth.
Yeah,
but it's good. Like I said, call it what you want: overlanding, car camping, putting stuff in your rig, and driving to a remote location, and then setting up a homestead. Call it whatever, but I love where this is going, and how people continue to innovate, us included. And I think it's just, you know, still a great time to be involved in this hobby, to get outside. You know, it's public lands are a great asset, and people should use them, man. You know, it's like huge, huge public landowner.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. You know, use it or lose it kind of deal. So
yeah,
better get out there and use it, but take care of it.
Yeah, of course, right? That's the thing, man. Sad part, right? You know, we go to campsites. Some people don't give a hoot about leaving their trash. I'll never understand that. Like, I don't understand, you know, like why you would want to throw trash at a place that you recreate. Who knows, man? If y'all know anything about that, drop a comment.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know.
Well, for sure. Was there anything else that you want to say?
No, man, this was fun. This was fun. Like going back down memory lane, you know, like I said, looking back, sitting here, thinking about how everything's changed. Not, you know, not just the runner, us people, where we're at now, life, you know, it's a weird thing. And, you just kind of hold on for the ride and shoot, man, she's going good right now.
Absolutely. Well, guys, definitely appreciate you listening in this week. Yeah, check us out on backwoodsadventuremods.com. Instagram is backwoodsadventuremods. YouTube is, of course, also backwoodsadventuremods. So, guys, we definitely appreciate it. And if y'all need anything, give us a shout.
We appreciate y'all. Seriously, man, hope to run into y'all on the road. We've got a bunch of shows that we're going to. If you haven't seen it on our Instagram, give it a look. But we love meeting people. So yeah, come by, shake our hand. We're gonna have some swag to give out, and then some of our new products will be on display, whether it's on the Tundra or whether we have a display sitting up. So Sav Expo, you're first on the list. So if anybody near Stark, Florida, come by, say hi, man, shake my hand.
Yeah, this episode should be out actually.
About time we hit the road.
Yeah. So yeah, seriously, if y'all listen to this, definitely go say hey to Mo. Tell him you listen in. I guarantee you, he'll be the coolest.
I'm going to do my best. If anything, we'll cheers and high five.
Peace.
See ya.